What's up, everybody? Thanks for listening to iOS Dev Discussions, and today we got another episode of Origin Stories. This is the show where I talk to another developer and just hear all about how they got into coding, how they learned, how they got their first job, or, you know, all that good stuff. I'm always fascinated by that story. And in today's episode, we have Marlon Avery. He is a manager of the Talent Path at Treehouse, a little website you may have heard of. You've probably done a tutorial or two from that site, but anyway, we get into his journey about how he created his first sneaker app, and he designed it in, wait for it, Microsoft Paint. Marlon, what are you thinking? Anyway, we get into all that whole story. We talk about how he went to a boot camp, and then after the boot camp, this is my favorite part of his story, about how he was documenting his 100 days of code, if you've heard of that hashtag. He was documenting that on Instagram and just sharing his journey. You know, the right people saw that. That eventually led to him building a relationship with the CEO of Treehouse, Ryan Carson. And that, you know, leads to him being a manager at Talent Path now, again, at Treehouse, where he helps women and people of color get placed into tech companies like MailChimp, Nike, etc. I really enjoyed this conversation because Marlon and I have a pre-existing relationship. I was on his podcast, and you know, he and I have been building a relationship, networking since. So it was fun to talk to somebody who I already knew. And with that really long introduction out of the way, let's do this. All right, let's just jump into this. Marlon, thank you so much for joining the show.
Hey, man, glad to be here, man. Really glad to be here. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, no worries. So before we dive in, let's introduce the audience to kind of who you are and, you know, what you're doing now at Treehouse and some of the content you're putting out.
Sure, man. My name is Marlon Avery. I'm here out of Atlanta, a software engineer. Like I said, based out of Atlanta, I work for Treehouse now. I am one of the Talent Path managers. So Talent Path, it's a first of its kind, it's a pipeline where they train diverse people how to be software engineers and place them into apprenticeships at the end.
Nice. And so you're working with like specific companies, right? That, you know, you place the engineers and after they graduate, do they automatically get placed or do they have to, I'm assuming they have to pass, right?
Right. So yeah, they have to pass. They have to pass. And, once they pass, and if it's, we haven't particularly ran into this issue yet, but as long as there's enough spots to fill, then yes, they do get placed. So they get placed in a 3 to 6 month apprenticeship, depending on the company. And then once the apprenticeship is complete, then they go in, they obviously have to perform, and show up and show on time. Once that happens, they're more likely they get transitioned into a full-time, software developer.
Nice. Well, we'll get back to Talent Path later. That's later in the show. I wanted to start off by saying I was really excited to have you on, Marlon, because everyone that I've had on before, it was the first time I'd ever talked to them. You know, sure, we'd interacted on Twitter or comments, but we had never actually spoken face to face. But you and I have a bit of a relationship. You know, well, that sounded weird. You and I have spoken a lot before. But you know, I was on so way back. I don't even know when it was. Marlon invited me onto his podcast. So we did that. That's when we first met. And then since then, you know, we've been kind of slowly networking and building that relationship over time to the point where, you know, we call each other and discuss, you know, what we're doing with our content creation, all that stuff. And we actually just got off an hour long phone call before this podcast. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Content creation, social stuff, Gary V, NBA, trash talk, yep. All the above.
Lakers missing the playoffs, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know.
Okay. Just the usual. Much longer we got on here?
And podcast is over. We're done here. So I always like to start off with like my favorite origin story, and that is, how did you discover me? Like, how did this relationship start, I guess?
Yeah, so I was on YouTube. I discovered you on YouTube, and at the time I was looking to become an iOS developer, and so I don't remember exactly what I typed in, but I probably typed in something, you know, how to become an iOS developer, and
how to grow a beard. I think that's what it was.
Right. And so I looked at a couple different videos, and I think yours popped up. And the reason I even clicked on yours because you had on some type of NBA shirt. I think it was probably, you know, you had on some, you know, NBA team. And so I was like, oh, I think I found my guy.
right.
And so from there, I just started to kind of watch some things. And so I think what really resonated with me is that, you know, you didn't have the typical journey or, you know, the assumed journey of starting when you've been coding since you was like 12 years old or something. You know, you started in your early 30s. And so immediately that that resonated with me because I had a definitely a similar journey.
Well, let's good segue. You do this for a living, don't you? Right? You've done a few podcasts before, so let's just segue right into this origin story here. Let's back up to like when you first, like, you know, I always call it caught the coding bug. Like, when did you first type your first line of code, or what even made you think that this was something you wanted to do?
The thinking part literally took years, to be honest. What's really funny, this is gonna sound so weird. I knew at a very young age I wanted to be an engineer.
Mm-hmm. Specifically a software engineer, or just any engineer of, you know, some type?
No, it was just, I knew some type of engineer because I love the concept of building and, you know, and problem solving even before I knew fully what those things meant. So I knew I wanted to be some type of engineer. Now, believing that I could do so, that took more than a decade. The whole journey pretty much started off when I was building. I had an idea for my app, and so it was a sneaker app where I wanted to showcase the way my sneaker collection other people's collection on my phone. And so initially there wasn't anything like that out, and so I was like, maybe I should do it.
So real quick, let's put the time frame, because I'm curious. You mentioned you thought about it from actually doing it. There was like a decade in between. Was there a lot of like start and stops? Or talking about the sneaker app, was this the first time you ever actually gave it a real try?
Watch this. This is the first time I gave it a real thought. And so the sneaker app idea was in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2012. And so, you know, at the time I had the luxury of, like, it was only probably like 10 other sneaker apps, and, you know, none of them doing what I was doing. And so,
right,
I had the luxury of like studying those apps and kind of figure out, I used to literally read through every comment or every review. Those apps had, like, you can't do that now. Anyway,
do you remember what year we're talking? I just like to set time frames here.
Yeah, 2012.
Okay, so pretty far back now.
Yeah. So 2012. And so I started to kind of like really try to figure it out how to make an app. And so at the time, only thing I knew how to do with apps was download them.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't like I was going in school for a CS degree, like anything. I was in college, but I was in college for I was studying math because they didn't have a CS department. And so that was like the closest thing I could find. And so I was like, yeah, maybe I should do it, you know? And so I start to like, I'm very visual, so I got to see it before I see it. I literally designed the first screens of the app in Microsoft Paint.
How'd they look?
Oh my God. I still have them. They should be burned.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I literally designed the first screens in Microsoft Paint. I mean, because that's the only thing I knew at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I met a guy that worked for Google. He's like, hey, what did you know design this in? I was like, Microsoft Paint. He's like, yeah, don't do that anymore. He's like, you got to learn Photoshop, you know, because there wasn't anything else at the time. It was just Photoshop. And so, so I was like, all right. So I started learning Photoshop. And so I was putting together a lot of the screens and everything, how it would look and everything, start to do like UI before I even understand what UI was. And so then it came to the point where it's like, okay, cool. Now, how do you put all this together? So,
right.
You know, I started to like kind of ask around and everything. And so they was like, okay, I had a mentor. She was like, hey, you got to learn code. You know, you got to learn code. I'm like, okay, cool. So literally I looked up, you know, basically learning coding, and the imposter syndrome hit me before I even started.
So real quick, this sneaker app, I'm assuming it was featuring like, you know, like Payless shoes, Skechers, like those kind of sneakers, right?
When does this podcast end again? No, it was sneakers, Air Jordans, Nikes, LeBrons, you know, kind of like the high-end athletics.
Was it, I'm curious, was it like kind of one of those, because when I think of these sneakers apps, I think of, you know, people camping out for, you know, days and getting the sneakers and then reselling them. Was it a reselling app, or was it just a place to showcase your collection?
So initially start off just showcasing your collection. And that was the whole aspect of it. And so started doing that. And so like, she told me, she's like, hey, you got to learn how to code. And I was just like, I looked at it and I started to, like, you know, and just being quite frankly, I didn't see anybody like me that was doing it. So I just shied away. And so I just literally just dove into the UI because that was just much, it was like, it's in it, no offense, but it was a lot easier for me to, you know, figure out. And so I stayed with that route and basically until the point where I've spent, at this time, I probably spent over $70,000 on developers that took off.
Wow. it's not a cheap sum of money there.
All right, it was expensive learning experience.
And this is before you tried to code yourself, and then after 70K you're like, yeah, I should probably learn this.
Right, so I started to like dabble into it. At the time, it was Objective-C. It wasn't any Swift or anything out yet. And so then Swift came out like literally like a year or two after. I was like, okay, yeah, I got something there. I can start to learn it there.
Backing up real quick to this, sorry to interrupt. I'm thinking of this 2012 time frame when you started like Googling how to build apps and stuff. Do you remember like what resources were out there? Like obviously, like I think Swift really brought this explosion of like online content to learn from. But do you remember what was out there pre-Swift?
The first thing I saw when I Googled how to learn code was MIT had their version of Scratch.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first version of Scratch. They literally launched it probably like a month before I found it.
Real quick, to clarify what Scratch is, it's like the puzzle pieces thing, right?
Right. So, yeah, it was the first version of Scratch. And I was even struggling with that. I was like, man, like, you know, and this was first of all, this wasn't even doing anything like for the app. This is just kind of learning to understand the concepts. And so number one, I backed away because of the process syndrome. Number two, I backed away because I thought it was going to take too long to learn, you know? And I was like, dude, I got to get this out. Like, I got to get this out. Like, got to get this done. Like, I don't have time to, you know, the arrogant part of me. I don't have time to learn this. Like,
right.
You know, and so I think
are you pissed off at your former self right now? Because like, had you been starting learning like way back then, you'd be a lot farther along, right?
Dude, it'd be a whole different ballpark. But I just like, you know, got past that hurdle. But okay, here's the big thing too. I think the big reason, and it's still my responsibilities and it's still on stuff. But I think a big hurdle of it is that there was not one person around me that was doing anything remotely close.
When you say around you, like just like in your environment, like who you hung out with or who you saw, or is that
family,
what you mean?
Family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, classmates,
right,
nobody.
Right. Yeah. And where are you living at this time? Just again, set context. You know, you're not in Silicon Valley, obviously, right?
No. So at this time, I was in South Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, this time I was in South Florida, and so that's what kind of alerted me that I had to move, like, you know, I had to get around some more people that did this. And so
yeah, it's like we talked about, and I want to share this with the audience as well, is like we talked about earlier you know, on our call before, just how your environment is so important. And kind of like Marlon's just saying, if you know nobody around you is interested in this sort of thing, nobody's doing it, there's no meetups, you know, it might be time to relocate if you really want to do this.
Yeah. And what I think was interesting too is that if you're in the U.S., it's becoming a little bit easier now. You know, there's still definitely like dark spots in this country where you just can't find a meetup or anything like that. You know, but if you're international, man, that's just tough. Like it's really tough. But yeah, if you're in the U.S., you know, you might have to drive 2 hours, you know,
right,
twice a month or something like that. You know, but it's I'll tell you this. It's 10 times better than what it was in 2012. I can tell you that.
I can imagine. I started my learning journey basically with the launch of Swift. So, like I said, Swift had this explosion in content, you know, to learn, but it was still very, you know, in its early stages. So it wasn't fully fleshed out. But to your point, I can't even imagine what it was before that kind of explosion.
Yeah, bro. It was, man, it was 2012 was, it was pretty, like, I literally struggled to find just a lot of things as far as like how to learn how to code like on the internet, which is kind of remarkable to say even now. But yeah, I just kind of start to kind of like keep going and keep learning, and mostly it was like the UI of it. So finally I came across a good friend of mine who works with Google, you know, he said, yeah, I definitely can help you out. Let's build it. You know, let's set some things up. And so, you know, we start to build it. And so things, as it's supposed to, start to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bugs start to appear. This didn't work. You know, that didn't work. Like, that's just going to happen. I don't care how good of a developer you are. And so like that. And so the thing that really, really set my feet into, say, you know what, I have to do this, is that I had zero clue how to fix my own app.
So did the excitement wear off when you get this? Because I see this a lot, especially when, like, starting side projects or just any project, right? You're, yeah, I'm going to build this app. You start building it. You build all the fun stuff first, and then all the not fun stuff pops out. I just did a video recently about the first 90% of an app and the second 90% of the app. How, like, the first 90% of the app is just, like, the general functionality, getting the basics to work, and that's fun. Then the second 90% is all the error handling, bug fixing, analytics, like, you know, all the, you know, make sure UI works on all screens, all the not fun stuff. So when you encountered all this not fun stuff, like your app is broken, you can't fix it, was that discouraging?
Yeah. I mean, watch this. Even the second half of the 90 rule is like the not fun stuff is all the analytics and,
yeah, exactly.
You know, like the app store stuff. Oh, I mean, that, I don't like that stuff either. You know, then you gotta look into, like, the legal stuff, like all this stuff. Like, oh my God, like, somebody take me out. Like, it was just a lot. And then you're trying to say, oh, I'm going to learn code on top of that. Okay. You know, it was a lot.
So after this app is launched and done, I'm assuming, do you feel like you're a full-time developer now, or was this kind of like a side hobby? How do you make the transition from, hey, I'm going to build this sneaker app and it's kind of a fun project, to I'm a full-time developer, this is my profession?
This is weird. After the app was launched, it was a momentarily gratifying feeling.
Momentarily. Which, how long did it last?
Like a couple of days.
All right.
So the reason being, because the app itself is great, and it was great to launch and get out there, just like kind of get this thing out there. But for me, I just wanted more. And what I mean by more, sneakers in this particular segment of how I was building the app wasn't changing anybody's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so from there, I was like, you know what, I want to dig in more. I want to figure out more. And so that's when I really got it. That's when I really got, actually one more thing happened. I went to go work for Uber. I went to go work for Uber Corporate in Atlanta. And while I was there, there was a particular feature inside the Uber app. It was bothering me. It was a Uber pool feature. It was bothering me. And so,
and real quick, what did you get hired to do at Uber in this position?
So it was on the product team and also the driver support team.
Okay. But were you an engineer there, or what was the position?
Oh God, no, no.
Yeah, I knew the answer to that. I just wanted to set the context for the audience. Yeah.
Oh no, God, no, 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 no. What's funny? I used to be able to see some code. When I was at Uber, man, I got humbled so quickly. Anyway, so basically, I recreated this particular feature inside the Uber app, and so I submitted it, you know, to the company, and like 4 months later, they was like, "Hey, we like it. Actually, we love it. We're gonna use it globally within the app," which was dope for me, because that kind of got me out of that feeling I had back in 2012 that I don't have time to learn this, meaning this is not going to be my last idea.
Right.
So my next idea, I wanted to either be able to build myself, or at the least start it myself. And so from there, I just like, okay, yeah, I've had enough. Let's really dive into it. So I went to go find I got into a boot camp, and this is just, everything is haywire from here. I got into a boot camp, and at the boot camp, they focused language was Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was convinced that Ruby was pretty much the language to know for the industry. Like, there is no better language than Ruby. I was convinced of that. You don't know what you don't know.
Well, it was also, if we're talking, I'm just guessing here, the 2013-2014 time frame, it was a pretty hot language at the time. I remember that's kind of when I started looking at code, and everybody was talking about Ruby.
Okay, so let me back up then. From starting the app to getting the app out took about 4.5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. My timeline was messed up.
Yeah. Because it was literally throwing paint against the wall. Like, I just didn't know what I didn't know. And so I was trying to figure everything out. And so it took about 4.5 years, which was beautiful for me because that was my college diploma. I learned so much in that time. Like, Google invited me to out their headquarters, Facebook, LinkedIn. Like, I learned so much and met so many people and stuff from that. So it was just really dope for me. And so I think this was 2000. Let me see, what year are we in? We're 2019. So this was 2016, 17. I went to the boot camp. And yeah, I was learning. They convinced me, like, hey, Ruby, this is the language and stuff to know. And so, so went into it, went through the boot camp, graduated, came out with Ruby developer. And so I'm like, all right, I'm ready. Who's ready for Ruby developer? People was like, we're good. we're good from here. And so during that time too, there's a comedian on Instagram by the name of Ha Ha Davis. And so pretty funny guy. He has like, I don't know, like 4 million, three million followers, right. And it's like that. And so he has these sayings. And everything. He has these sayings. And so I was like, man, me and my friends are always sending his sayings like in text messages. Like, he should have an iOS stickers app. And so I reached out to him and his team. And it was like, I said, hey, you guys should do an iOS stickers app. And I wrote the email as if giving them an idea to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I deleted the email and I rewrote it. And it's like, hey, you should let me do it.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that worked out a lot better.
Right, because at the time I still didn't know what to do. Now my confidence is starting to grow because I knew I could figure it out. And so I said, hey, you guys should let me do it and everything. And so they was like, okay, cool and everything. So we started it, but then, you know, the iOS stickers app, there's literally like little to no coding on there. It's just you know, imagery and all this stuff like that. And so,
but the funny thing is like normal people don't know that.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying you're trying to like trick them, but like, you know, hey, I got a sticker app. They don't know that it was, you know, minimal code.
Right. So anyway, I created like all the imagery and all this stuff like that because I started to get pretty good at imagery, you know, hence the graduation from Microsoft Word to Photoshop. But so I created this and all that. So anyway, we launched it and it was number one in the App Store for like 3 weeks straight.
Nice.
And I said, okay, I've had enough. Like, I'm going to sit down, do what I need to do, and really dive into this. Got graduated from the boot camp. I feel like I didn't know enough, obviously, because the industry told me so. And I said, you know, I want to get more of a CS understanding and stuff like that. And so I started to take Harvard CS50, and that was a struggle. Still is. That was a struggle.
That's a great, well, real quick, just for people that may not know, Harvard, that's their intro to CS, basically, that all their like new incoming CS degrees take, but it's free online on, I think, the iTunes, right? So if you want to take a Harvard Introduction to Computer Science course, you can, completely for free. So yeah, it's an awesome resource.
They need to take out the word intro.
I didn't actually take the course. I just watched the videos. But even just watching the videos took my knowledge from 0 to 4. But, you know, right. It still is better than nothing. But, yeah, it's good stuff, though.
Yeah, it's wow. Yeah, I was starting to do that. And so I feel like I was moving forward, but I feel like there was a different level. Like, there was a new level and stuff like that to go to. And so I was like, you know what? Let's figure out what that level is. You know, some circumstances happen. I'll say, you know what? I minimize my bill to like the minimal level it possibly could go. Move to a different state. I went back to Florida. I moved in one of my best friends. And from, I moved there January 1. And from.
Of what year?
2018. Yeah, 2018.
All right.
January 1, I focused on, I did coding for 6 to 8 hours a day from about late February to about mid-December.
And this is, what is this? Is this just you learning, or is it contracts, or a mixture of both?
So the first 6 months was me, first 6 months was probably me learning. Mm-hmm. Four to 6 months was me learning. And so then I started to, like, you know, document my journey and stuff, like, on Instagram, which from there, that's when people started to take notice. So I started to pick people like, hey, can you build this for me? Hey, you can build that for me. And so kind of contracting just started to come just kind of out of nowhere.
Right.
Which is really interesting, because the only reason, this is funny, the only reason contracting started to become real is I had my mentor tell me, I think you're starting to become a professional student.
A lot of people fall into that.
You got to start building. And I said, and what's funny, I kind of knew that, but I was like, I don't really want to, like, break anything, mess anything up, you know, just, this is kind of comfortable here. But
yeah, right. You got to leave that comfort zone, though, you know?
Right. And so he was like, yeah, you're starting to become a professional student. So I said, okay. And, like, literally the minute I transitioned, I had, like, 3 or 4 or 5 people knocking at the door.
Nice. Did you... You said they kind of took notice by what you were putting out on Instagram, documenting your journey. Was that how most of them, like, came knocking on the door? Or did you, like, proactively put anything out there? Did you go say, hey, I'm looking for work, you got anything for me?
I did that one time, and then it paid off, like, 4 times.
Right, yeah.
My friend, he has a barbershop, and I said, hey, let me build your barbershop website, you know, for your site. He's like, okay, cool. I did that one time, and then from there, everything else just started to come, you know, come falling in.
And just to set the stage, like, for the audience, you're dabbling in multiple languages. You know, you did iOS, you did Ruby. Now, like you say, you just built the web page. So you're not really, you're just being a general software engineer. You're not really, you know, focusing on one language, right? I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just kind of setting the stage.
So I, when I started the, you know, coding and stuff, the top of the, you know, top of the year, I committed to the 100 Days of Code Challenge, you know, so yep. When you, you know, code every single day and document what you're doing. The first 30 days was Swift.
Okay.
And
is this the time period you found my stuff?
No, I found your stuff the year before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I found your stuff, like, the year before. I think right before I went to the boot camp. That's when I found your stuff.
Gotcha.
The first 30 days was Swift, and I said, okay, you know, I want to do a little bit more outside of apps. Everything, like, I want to be able to do apps and everything, but I want to do a little bit more outside of that. And so this is really interesting. During this time period too, I started to learn who to take advice from.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's a big deal. So expand on that a bit though.
Right, because when you're starting out as a developer, every developer is going to have their perspective. And it's all fair, like, you know, not saying anybody is wrong, you know, and like anything like that. But once I was starting to ask, you know, people who, what's your language should I focus on? Oh, you should do Python. Oh, you should do JavaScript. Oh, you should do this, like, and everything. So it was just so many different languages to the point it was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
The one key thing that the person at the time, my mentor, he asked me, what do you want to do?
Right.
Like, what do you want to do? Like, what's your end goal? And so, you know, I want to be able to, you know, build software, build websites and all this stuff like that, you know, but I also want to dabble in stuff in the apps as well. He's like, okay, cool, JavaScript. And so I was like, cool. And so it was really, and that's interesting because now when people ask me, like, hey, what language should I focus on? I ask the same question. What do you want to do?
Like, right, you know. I get that question all the time in, like, my live streams, and I don't say, what do you want to do? But I say, like, what do you enjoy? Like, do you enjoy building websites? Do you enjoy building apps? You know, do you like Android or iPhone? You know, so right. Like you said, I think the whole point of it is don't just tell them what you like, right? Like,
right.
If somebody were to ask me, like, and I say, hey, yeah, Swift all the time, you know, find out what they like, find out what they want to do, and then, you know, adjust your answer to them. So I think that's kind of what you were getting at with, you know, be careful who you take advice from.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so where are we at in the journey here? You're doing the 100 days of code. Your first 30 days were Swift. And then what were the other languages you did during the 100 days of code?
Just JavaScript.
Just Java. So Swift, and then the last 70 were JavaScript?
Yeah.
And then, so this 100 Days of Code actually is pretty popular. If you haven't heard of it, you just do the hashtag 100 Days of Code. It's a pretty popular thing. You ended up creating your podcast around the idea. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was funny because around day 90, I started to get like a lot of DMs like, hey, you're almost done. You know, keep going. I'm like, duh. But anyway, I'm like, you know, people started to ask me like, what's next? What are you going to do after the 100 Days of Code?
And you were like, shit, I gotta figure something out.
Right. I have no clue. And I didn't know. And so I think it was like around day 96, 97, I thought about a podcast. You know, so, you know, I was listening to other podcasts and stuff. Like I listened to, you know, I think it was JavaScript on the air. They don't do it anymore. But I still go listen to some of theirs, you know, Syntax. You know, so I was like, you know what? I don't want to have a, you know, a podcast talking about Syntax, and we need those, you know. But I want to. I think the one thing I struggle with is the mental hurdles of, you know, becoming a software developer, and so I want to have a podcast talking about that. And so, initially, the podcast was called The 100 Days of Code. You can obviously guess why. and so, I literally thought of the idea on a Friday and started on Sunday.
I love that. So many people like have ideas and never execute on them or never try them. So I love the fact that you had the idea and like 2 days later, you're like, let's do it. Let's go.
That's how I work. If I have an idea, and this is, I'm not saying this is the right way. This is just Marlon's way. If I have an idea, I literally start and then plan.
Yeah, if I don't figure it out on the way.
Yeah, if I don't start, it's just never going to happen. I can plan all day. It's just never going to happen. You can forget about it.
Right. I'm similar. I don't start, then plan. However, I get a little inkling of a plan, and then I go. And then I, like, adopt that plan along the way. But I'm like you. Like, I'll think about something, and then just, yeah, a couple days later, launch it, you know? Like, I'm designing clothes now. Like, I would have never thought, like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I would have never thought I'm doing that. Designing logos and clothing and, you know, launching the new clothing thing on Tuesday coming up here. And it's like, what am I doing? But I was like, this seems fun. Let me try this, you know, and I just do it. And if it fails and people laugh at me, like, oh, well, I'll just move on to the next thing.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, we launched the, well, I say we, but I launched the podcast. And the first episode was... literally talking about, you know, my 100 Days of Code journey, and just kind of like some of the things I struggle with. The fatigue is real, you know, and I was even able to pinpoint the fatigue, like in what certain amount of days, you know. So yeah. I remember the fatigue really came in around day 30 to 40, and it really started to hit in to around the 70s.
Is there a limit, or is there a recommended like amount of time? Is it like code for an hour, code for 3 hours, or is it whatever you want to do? I don't know if there's like any structure around this 100 Days of Code. I've never done it, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. So the guy that it's funny because the guy that created it follows me on Instagram. But so the guy, he set it up. He said basically it's an hour a day.
Okay.
So it's a minimum of an hour a day, and then you just got to document. You know, and at the time, I think actually, don't quote me on this, but I think when he created it, you know, Instagram wasn't even kind of where they are now. So it was all on Twitter. And you're just using hashtag, you know, 100 Days of Code.
So you finished 100 Days of Code and start the podcast. You're starting to kind of build a little bit of a following. Would you say, and I'm kind of jumping the gun here to your current position here. Would you say due to your content creation is a big reason to where you are now? Is that true or false?
The only reason.
Right. I didn't know. I mean, I know how you kind of got there, but I didn't know the exact story. So I didn't know if, you know, other stuff was involved. But so you'd say the stuff you were putting out on Instagram, the podcast, is the reason.
The only reason. Like content. It was the company found me on Instagram, period.
Right. And the company being Treehouse, we're talking about.
Yeah. So yeah, Treehouse found me on Instagram. And, you know, say I was just like in a room, and it's funny because I tell, you know, newcomers and stuff like that, like, you have to get on some type of platform. Like, I don't care what it is, but show that you're working. And so, like, there's one developer I've been starting to notice. This developer is taking and I'm not saying they got this from me, but they've been taking like what I was like my format. It does sound like you got it from me, but they did. I'm not saying they did.
that's exactly what you just said. I'm not trying to say they took it from me, but took it from me.
So they're taking the format of documenting like on social media, like they're 100 days, whatever. This individual is putting it on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, that's pretty dope because that's what companies are. Like, you know, And that was another thing why I started the podcast, because I'm just not the biggest fan of LinkedIn. And it's funny, at the time I'm sort of transitioning now. So I wanted to create a backdoor. So I was like, you know what? I can interview the people that's on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You know, and like we can start our relationship and they start there from there.
It's the ultimate hack. I say this, I wanted to go this direction for a reason, because I'm working on a talk. So I'm giving a talk in London. I'm not sure if you knew, my very first talk ever in London in March, about iOS stuff. So I submitted two talks. The one I submitted that got accepted that they're having me talk about is, you know, like 30 Xcode tips in 45 minutes. You know, that'll be cool. The other talk I submitted, which I was secretly hoping they would select, was how iOS content, or 5 ways iOS content creation will change your life. And it's just because kind of what you just, you know, alluded to is I've gotten so many opportunities because I've started putting myself out there, putting my knowledge out there. And it's just insane. So just to echo what you said is get on a platform, start whatever your strengths are, right? If you're a writer, start writing Medium posts. If you're like talking, podcasts, videos, mm-hmm. YouTube, you know what I mean? Just find whatever you're good at and you like to do and start putting out content, because, you know, back to we've mentioned Gary Vee, he always says like one piece of content can change your life. You know, 10 years ago, Justin Bieber was strumming a guitar on a YouTube video. The right person saw it and his life completely changed. Not sure if that's the best example, because, you know, I don't know if I can say that's, I don't know if his life has changed for the better. You know, he's gone through some shit, but, you know, the point is, if the right person sees what you're putting out, crazy things can happen. And like Marlon just said, he got this job at Treehouse. You know, I'm assuming he enjoys it strictly because of, you know, him putting out content, putting yourself out there.
So I think a great element too, even the Justin Bieber thing you just said, is it's not going to happen overnight.
No, yeah. So I did make it sound like it's a, hey, put one video out, get discovered, and you're good. I did make it sound like that, and that is absolutely right. Not the case.
And throughout my 100 days of code, and a lot of stuff you can go see, it's still on my Instagram. I think around day 40, day 50, I started to get pretty consistent. Where I was posting 3 times a day on Instagram. And I was creating, you know, content from documents, basically recording what I was doing and stuff for that day. And so, okay, wait, here we go. I forgot about this. This is absolutely nuts. I had a schedule. And so I would wake up at 4. I kind of like have my personal time for like an hour. And then,
by the way, I'm going to interrupt you real quick, Marlon. Marlon would let you know he woke up at 4 because he was posting an Instagram story every damn day saying, hey, it's 4:25. I'm up here working. What are you doing? I would see it at like 7 a.m. and just be like, damn it. So he let you know he was up at 4.
That's funny. So, yeah, I would post at 4. I mean, I would not post at 4. I would wake up at 4. And then I have my personal time and stuff for an hour, and then I would start working. And so my first, I would, and the reason I could code from 6 to 8 hours a day, because I would break it up in segments of 3 segments. Mm-hmm. And so my first 2 hours would be the Harvest CS50. My second hour would be JavaScript, and then my third hour would be building something or working on something, you know, so building something. And so I will be doing that for 6 to 8 hours a day. It's funny because, like, even at CS50 teaches you your first language you're learning is C, which is weird. Yeah. Because the better I understood C, the better I understood JavaScript. Like, I know, like, C is, like, one of the grandfather languages and stuff like that. I know, you know, a lot of these languages take their principles away from, you know, like, languages like C. But the more I understood the C, the better I understood JavaScript. And that really did wonders for me.
Nice. So let's kind of bring it back to Talent Path and Treehouse. And so how can you tell the story of like how you actually got the job or how you got introduced to this whole concept of Talent Path at Treehouse?
Yeah. So, you know, Ryan Carson, the CEO of Treehouse, you know, he's a person, he's pretty consistent on social media and stuff too. You know, he posts and stuff a lot, talks about his day, what he's working on, you know, what Treehouse is doing and all this stuff. And so it came about, I don't even remember what month it was, but it was pretty early in the year. But it came about, I was, at the time, I had all my notifications on. So I would see every like comment.
You're a psychopath. If you have any sort of following, like Marlon's got, you know, almost 5,000, you know, on Instagram now. So wow, that's a lot.
So what at this time it was probably like only like 2 or 3.
Okay.
You know, and so one day I'm like working and everything, and I see Ryan Carson like.
On an Instagram post.
Yeah, Ryan Carson liked his post. Like, he did like 3 times, and then Ryan Carson comment. I'm like, okay, who's this kid? Like,
you didn't even know who it was at the time, right?
What's funny, I knew the name. It didn't match in my head. I said, you know what, I'll look at it later.
And so Gotcha.
Then another one came up, Ryan Carson. Like, okay. I'm like, oh, okay, who is this? So I went to go look, and I was like, oh, okay, CEO of Treehouse. And so, you know, as time and stuff went, we just started to like, you know, engage and stuff and have conversations and stuff. They led into like phone calls and stuff like that. And, you know, and so we literally really started to build a relationship, you know, to the point we was probably talking like once a month.
Because I really like this story, and I want to give, because I always believe in like networking, and I think social media is amazing. Of course, it has its downfalls, but opportunities like this are why I love social media. So just to set the stage for the audience, how long did this, you know, from the time, you know, you liked it and started engaging till the time you're doing phone calls? I mean, because I want to let the audience know that you don't just build these relationships in a day, right? So how long were you building this relationship?
Like, so you mean like our first engagement to our first phone call?
Yeah, roughly. I mean, yeah.
Probably about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. So it takes time. That's really what I wanted to get to is, it takes a lot of time to build this up.
Yeah. And it was funny because then 4 or 5 months seemed so small because I wasn't looking for anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like
you have no expectations. You're just being cool with each other.
Right. I wasn't trying. My focus wasn't trying to work for Treehouse. There was nowhere close to that. You know.
Right. And right. So, yeah.
And so yeah, we just kind of started having conversations and stuff, and so we just started to talk about like we have similar beliefs and you know things about just like the market and how it can make change and how we can just like you know do a lot of work. And so what was really interesting is that. We had a conversation about at the time I was still in Florida, and we had a conversation and it was an individual who was trying to learn how to code, but he was kind of struggling with things like the imposter syndrome. And so Ryan was like, hey, do you think you can reach out to this person? You know, I think, you know, your story would be able to, you know, really resonate with him. And so I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, from there, we kind of started like another conversation. And so Ryan just came out of nowhere. Was like, "Dude, what's your why? Like, why? What do you want? What do you want to do? Like,
yeah,
you know, what do you want to do?" And so, oh, okay, so I told him, and he's like, "Oh, he said, mine's is similar to that too." And so,
what was your why? You gonna just leave us hanging like that? What was the why?
So, you know, if you don't know, I'm an African American male, and so for me, it was I know the concept of like kind of getting down on yourself and into this downward spiral. So it's similar. Like, so for example, at one point I was facing 10 years in prison. And so I know what they can do, especially when you're around your environment, which also is why I said there was absolutely nobody around me that would do anything similar to like coding stuff in my environment, because in my environment, we might've been something doing something else probably would be highly illegal. Like,
right. Yeah.
And so, right. And so I say, you know what? I want to be able to train people that look like me how to become software engineers so they can get a better environment around them, better situation for their family and better situation, you know, for themselves. And so, okay, I wouldn't do that because I want to, you know, start to teach them and stuff how to code. I literally started writing out the plan and the curriculum and sort of, and how I was going to do that. And I told myself it's going to take at least 5 years to get this going.
Yeah, you set the right expectations. Like, it takes time.
Right, which is hence me working on the app for so long.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, cool. Like, I'm okay with this. Let's roll. That I set that as my why, and I set that down what I want to do the rest of my life. Probably about January, March, April, probably around April, May. Ryan reached out to me. We had a couple conversations probably around September and said, hey, bro, we just opened up this job that does exactly that. Like what you're saying.
Right.
With Talent Path. And so he like, you know, would you be interested? And I was like, I don't know.
Did this require a move to the treehouse? I guess what I'm saying, like, why were you hesitant? Like, was it a big change for you, or why'd you? Because I feel like based on this story, you would have jumped all over it. But I'm curious why you were hesitant.
The reason I was hesitant because I didn't know them as a company.
Oh, okay. Like you hadn't heard of them, or you just didn't know their value, their cultures, all that stuff.
No, I want to know them. If you're saying this is a lane that you're focusing in, you know, because you know, but people that's working on it, majority of them are not, you know, people of color. And you're saying sure. You want to help, you know, a more diverse community. Why? Why are you doing this?
Yeah. You know, what's your why?
You know, and so, yeah. Right. And so I wanted to know more. And so initially they was like, you know, hey, we got the position, you know, everything. You had to move to Portland. I was like, yeah, I'm good. Like moving to Portland was out of the question.
Hey, and man, West Coast is where it's at, man. You got to get out here. All right. Anyway, go ahead.
So, you know, moving to Portland, it was like, yeah, no, I'm good. And so, but, you know, we had a couple more conversations that was even, you know, not even pertaining to that. So I kind of got to meet some people, you know, learn their why, have some personal experience, you know, and then that's what really sold me. And so it was funny because it sold me, but for then they had already went with somebody else that was in Portland. I wasn't no longer looking for the position. You know, and so they approached me again. They said, hey, you know, we want to offer you this, you know, offer the position again, but you'll be remote this time. What do you think? I'm like, duh, let's go.
Yeah. There you go. Now you're talking.
All right. And so, yeah. And that's how I started working with Treehouse. God, that was long. Right. Is that long? Anyway.
No. I think it's a good story. I like it. I mean, it started off with, like I said, you just putting out content, sharing your journey, and, you know, the right people notice you. You start building that relationship over time, and then here you are. Like, I love stories like that. So I know can you sum up real quick? Again, we talked about it at the very, very beginning, but now that we're kind of in the context of it, like what the Talent Path is, and then how anybody that's listening, you know, that kind of fits the description, you know, can apply or how they can get involved.
Sure. So yeah, Talent Path is a pipeline that focuses on mostly women and people of color. And we train them how to be software engineers. And so it's not just only women, people of color, but it's anywhere from a diverse background. Now, that diverse background could be somebody that comes from a low economic situation, you know, and then you definitely will fit that as well. And so we focus on that. And so we focus right now on cities like Portland, San Francisco, Boston, Atlanta. I always forget one. I cannot think of it. But anyway, so right now we're in recruiting for Boston and Atlanta.
If you live in that city, Marlon forgot, you're just screwed. Sorry. You could have had a chance to change your life. Marlon couldn't remember the city. You're done.
But yeah, so right now we're in live recruiting for Boston in Atlanta. Boston is a women-only cohort. And so actually, so I'll send you the link. You can put it in the show notes.
I'll put it in the show notes with all the information. Yeah.
It's a lot to like say verbally. But
no, of course. Yeah. I'm just messing with Marlon. But like I said, this is why I was excited for this podcast, because you know, when you're talking to somebody for the first time, you don't know what kind of jokes you can make or how you can joke around with them. But like Marlon and I have been talking for a while now. So like, I know what I can get
get away with, I guess, if you put it that way. And I know he knows I'm, you know, not being a dick.
Right. Be all stiff on the podcast and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we it's a 6 to 8 month training where you're learning online. It's you're pretty much a full time student throughout this process. And so once you graduate, we will place you. You have to graduate, but once you graduate, we will place you into apprenticeship with a tech company. You know, and so some of the tech companies that we work with now is like MailChimp, Nike, Envision. So these is like some of the tech companies that we work with now. And so once you graduate, we'll place you into the apprenticeship. The apprenticeship will last 3 to 6 months, 3 to 6 months, based on the company. The pay will vary too as well, but it won't be necessarily an intro level developer for the apprenticeship program. But once you graduate from the apprenticeship, as long as you're like, you know, come doing your work, showing up on time, and
right.
you would transition into a entry level developer salary.
Nice. So there's different stages, and just for my clarification and the audience clarification, if you get accepted into the program and you perform, you graduate, is placement guaranteed? If you perform and graduate, is placement into that apprenticeship program guaranteed?
It's not guaranteed, but your chances of being placed is high.
Very high. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. I just wanted to, you know, not give people the wrong impression that it was like a sure thing if you got in.
Right. You got to show up. You got to show up and, you know, do the work and stuff like that. And I'll tell you this, these companies are excited to have you. We just did a session at MailChimp, and MailChimp is just an awesome company. I mean, they have a lot of great stuff going on over there, and they're really, really excited for our next cohort to come through.
Nice. Well, Marlon, I love your story. That's why I wanted to have you on. I love what you're doing at Treehouse and the Talent Path. I think that's great. Wanted to share that. Before we wrap up, just do you have any advice for developers that are, you know, just starting their, you know, origin story, if you will? Maybe they're in that position you were a few years ago when you were just looking online, how to code, and you were kind of, you know, discouraged. You had that imposter syndrome. What advice would you have for them?
There's a podcast out there called Coding Life.
And in particular, there's this one episode that is amazing. I can't remember what number it was, but it has this iOS developer on it. It's probably the best episode ever. If you're going to listen to his podcast, start with that one, I would say.
Yeah, work your way back then forward.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, so the podcast, my podcast is called Coding Life Audio Experience, and you can find that on pretty much any podcast aspect. I think that right there will really help you with the mental aspect of your journey. So things like imposter syndrome, you know, things like burning out, things like, you know, how do I stay focused? I had somebody come on to me, how do I stay focused when I have a full-time job? You know, some people came on and said, how do you stay focused when you have kids? And so just all the mental aspect on there. But I think this is the biggest thing is, and this takes time, learning how to be persistent but patient. I think my uncle probably gave me the greatest analogy. If you watch football, when a running back gets the ball, he's always moving forward. But at sometimes he's patient, waiting for a particular tackle to move or a particular gap to open up. But you always got to continuously move forward. Once you really learn that element of being persistent but patient, I think your journey becomes a little bit easier.
Yeah, I love that. Patience is one of the things I always preach, because the people that reach out to me, you know, a lot of questions I get is, how can I become an iOS developer as fast as possible? And like, I immediately just say, I was like, you're in the wrong mindset. Like, yeah, this is a long journey. You have to be patient. If you're going to be worried about how fast you can do it, it's probably not going to be a good journey for you, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. If you're trying to speed through here we go. If you're coming to a coding expecting that this is a 100-yard dash, no. This is a 5K.
Not even more than that. I think it's a marathon, because even once you become professional, like, you're still learning. Like, technology's always changing. That's what I love about the profession, right? Technology's always changing. It's impossible to know everything about, you know, not even just within the Swift realm. Like, what if you venture out into JavaScript and you want to build more languages?
Oh,
on that?
My goodness.
It's impossible to know everything about every single language.
Frameworks,
so that's why it's a marathon. Yeah, it's just, so that's why it is it's a lifelong marathon. Like, you're never done. That's what I love about it, to be honest with you. Like, sure, you can be getting paid to do it and a professional, but, and you're always growing and learning, in my opinion.
Facts.
So thank you for coming, Marlon. We got to do the typical podcast wrap-up stuff. I know you're big on Instagram. Where can everybody follow you and find you should they want to do that?
Yeah, so mostly if you wanted to contact me, DM me, the best place to do that is on Instagram. That's marlon.avery. So you can check out that Coding Life podcast. If you want to have more questions for me at Treehouse, my email, you can shoot me an email. It's marlon@teamtreehouse.com. Definitely go check out, you know, and learn some of your coding stuff too at teamtreehouse.com as well. And so, and then on Twitter, Marlon_Avery. Hey, it's been a long week and I'm hungry. Anyway,
we've also been talking for like 2.5 hours now too with our first call and now into this podcast. So we're probably sick of hearing each other's voices. But I will put all those links in the show notes. So, you know, if Marlon messes up his own last name, just click the link in the show notes. I'm going to start calling him Marlon Twitter from now on.
Copyright infringement.
Right. All right, Marlon, let's end on that note. Thank you so much for coming, and we'll see everybody in the next episode.
All right.